Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of my podcast, Merch Motel Radio. Today, I'm here with my friend. Her name is Mako, and she has a really amazing brand named Velux Vanity. It's all about vintage makeup, cosmetics, 20th century beauty, and glamour. I can go on and on, but I'm not an expert in it. So she's going to be talking about all of that together. We're going to be talking about all of the fun adventures and stuff we've been on together. Okay, so I should pass the mic over to her so she can introduce herself properly.
Thank you, Barkha, for that wonderful introduction. I'm so excited to be here. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Velux Vanity and my vintage-inspired lipsticks and some of the adventures we've been on.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
I can't wait.
But if you don't know me and you're coming from Velux Vanity's page, my name is Barkev and I run a brand named The Merch Motel. And my brand is all about vintage signage and architecture with a main focus in Los Angeles. Okay, let's get into it now. So I'm gonna probably be asking you a lot of questions. So I just want to ask, like, what inspired you to create this brand and start this amazing collection of vintage makeup and cosmetics that you own? Because it's really incredible.
Well, there's just so much to talk about, but let's start at where my fascination with beauty began. As a kid, I would always watch old Hollywood TV shows and movies with my mom, and just seeing those ladies on the TV would just be mind-blowing to me, because I'm like, how do they look that beautiful? As a kid, I didn't understand.
Can I ask, what would your mom watch on TV? Like, what was her favorite show?
Okay, so she watched a lot of I Love Lucy, and mm-hmm. She also watched Bewitched. And I just love how they did their makeup, especially in I Love Lucy, her iconic lips. It's so well known.
I love how even at a young age, you're introduced to, like, I Love Lucy, which is, like, very vintage glamour Hollywood.
Yeah, I think that's what started my craze. I was, like, 7 years old just watching that with my mom, and who knew that one day it would turn to this?
That's really cute.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so going from watching these beautiful women on TV, looking at their makeup and wondering how did they get that, to my grandpa actually having an antique shop, and I was always around antiques.
Does he ever find vintage makeup and stuff that, like, he can give to you or he comes across?
So it's so funny because his antique store is in Texas. When he's there, he'll always send me photos and videos of the stuff he has. And he'll be like, do you want this? And I'll just tell him yes or no.
That's cute.
It's cute, yeah.
Okay, sorry to throw you off by asking you that question, but continue your story, please.
No worries. Okay, so, and then when I went to college, I realized what I really wanted to do. I wanted to go into the beauty industry, but I was really obsessed with vintage cosmetics. So right after college, I started doing a bunch of research on vintage makeup, vintage cosmetics, vintage glamour. I purchased books, I went on these old school blog websites, and I just learned a ton. And then actually, the first time I bought a vintage piece of makeup was with you on a road trip. In Oro Grande.
Of course it was a road trip.
Of course. We went to an antique store somewhere on Route 66 and it was the coolest thing. And before this, in college I studied marketing. So I was always obsessed with vintage cosmetic ads. And then when we went to this antique shop, I'm like, oh my God, this compact that's sitting in this display case, I've seen an ad for that. So I immediately knew I had to buy it. And that's where my craze for collecting all of these pieces started. And now I don't even have room in my own display case. I think I need another one. So thank you for that road trip.
Of course. That's like the same situation with me. We always say we love going on road trips to antique stores that are further out because you can find better hidden gems, I guess, in these antique stores because not as many people go and visit it. Speaking of antique stores and vintage ads, it's so funny because Mako and I would always go to estate sales like pre-pandemic all the time together. And we would find these old Life magazines, like stacks of them for like a couple dollars. Like at one point we got like 15 Life magazines for like $8 or something. And it's so interesting because now it's gotten so popular, and if you go to these estate sales or antique stores, each magazine is like $20 to $40 now.
The thing I love about these vintage Life magazines is the ads. Not only are they huge magazines compared to nowadays, but the ads at the time were just so beautiful. Every time I come across a new one I haven't seen, it's just a work of art.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I love collecting the magazines too, more so for the advertisements. A lot of the products that I make, I create vintage advertisements for them to promote them.
I've seen them. They're so cute, by the way.
Thank you. And they're inspired by these old magazine advertisements. And I love to scan them, make collages, and do all these fun stuff with them. It's just really fun because advertising now is like completely different, and it was all about beautiful stuff. Like everything was beautiful. I always say this, like the architecture, the cars, advertisements were beautiful. Like think about it now when you're watching like a YouTube video and there's an advertisement before you watch it. And isn't that funny? That's the way we get advertisements now. But it's like, you're just like, all right, skip, I don't care. But I'm sure a lot of people are intrigued by old advertisements. You're going out of your way to find them and look at them. It's just like crazy when you think about it.
Absolutely, because just like you said on YouTube or anything you're watching, you just automatically skip or you leave the room if there's a commercial or an ad. But when it comes to these vintage ones, because of the colors, because of the time they took, you know they didn't have the technology we do today. So they're so much more unique. That's why it's like it's worth spending the time to look at these older ads, because the new ones, anyone could just create those now.
So we're in your office right now, Mako.
And do you like my pink door? Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no, I love it. Pink is the best. But there's so many like vintage stuff all around me. There's a little vintage telephone on your desk, all these fun little vintage cosmetics and makeup. So I think we should talk about them.
Let's go for it.
All right, I'm down. So speaking about vintage advertisements and now makeup, I see something really cool on the desk.
Yes, it's in front of us, you guys, and he'll take photos to show you guys later. But, so right in front of me, I actually have a couple of these vintage lipstick tissue packets, and they're the cutest thing ever. They open just like a matchbook would normally open. So on one side, it's an advertisement for this Curtis Corn Muffin Mix. And on the other one, it's an advertisement for Kleenex. So the way these would work is they were sometimes given for free, or they would literally cost a penny, and women would just keep them in their handbag, and they would blot their lipstick with these tiny little tissues. And it was genius marketing at the time, because not only is it an advertisement for Kleenex, but this Curtis Corn Muffin Mix, it gives you like a deal on the back and the recipe for how to make these muffins. That's cool. So anytime like a woman would just want to blot or remove her lipstick, she would just pull this out and immediately be reminded of Kleenex or this corn muffin mix. It's pretty smart.
So I want to describe what this product looks like to the people listening. So the way it looks is it's sort of like a large matchbook. I guess you can describe it like
exactly.
That. And you open it up and instead of matches, it's like, I don't know, let's say there's like 30 little tissue pieces stapled into it. So where the matches would be, it's little tissue papers.
Honestly, it's the cutest thing ever. The other day, actually, I was watching this old Marilyn Monroe movie. In the scene, one of the hotel workers hands one to like one of the guests in the hotel lobby. And they're just like, oh, here's some lipstick tissues. And these were very popular from the 1920s to the 1960s.
These little tissue packet things, where did you find these?
I got most of these ones from antique stores.
Speaking of antique stores, I talked about in one of my previous episodes, like my trip to Las Vegas. I actually went to Las Vegas with Miss Velux Vanity.
So we went to this antique store in Las Vegas, and it was the biggest antique store that we've been to. I was so overwhelmed that I had to stop looking, and I didn't find anything from that one.
Yeah, actually it was really big. It was insane. And like we kept losing each other, and at one point I like ran into someone, and I was just like talking to him, and I'm like, where am I? We actually took a road trip there. We didn't fly there because we just both love taking road trips, and we took some stops along the way. I keep looking over at your like vintage makeup display because it's just so cool. So in her office, she has this like cabinet filled with old makeup. I have a couple of those lady vases.
I love those so much. The cool thing is that now people use it as just a decor piece, or they put it on their vanity and their makeup brushes, but I'm sure you know this too. They originally started off as planters, so you would buy flowers or plants in them, and that was the cute little pot it came with.
Yeah, and I have like artificial flowers inside of mine because I don't want to like actually use real flowers and like, you know, water it.
Oh my god, I have.
Oh really?
I put real flowers in mine.
Did you like put water in there too?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't know. I'm like too scared to do it.
Well, I have a few, so I don't mind. It's like, it's okay, you know.
Bougie.
Yeah. I think you'll really love these pieces. Hold on, let me go ahead and get them. Okay, so the first one I want to talk about is this vintage 1960s lipstick doll.
I love that so much. So I've seen advertisements and photos of that before, yes. And I'm obsessed with it. And then I saw one day you posted it on Instagram, and I texted you, was like, oh my god, where did you find that?
You have no idea how long I had been looking for this. Oh my gosh. I found this online, and it was... I have to be honest, this was the most expensive piece of vintage makeup I've ever bought.
Worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it because it's so cute. So I purchased it, and then it came and it was like really dirty. I was like, why is it really dirty? And like, I know people tell me not to do this, but I literally took a Mr. Clean and it didn't damage her.
Wow,
so
I'm shocked it didn't take the like
makeup
off.
It's so clean. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I'll post photos of this too, but describe it, please.
Okay, what is it? It's like a 5-inch tall tiny lipstick case doll, I would say. And then she has like a little hat, her makeup's done, she has a little necklace, and she's wearing this sort of dress. It's like a fabric covering the lipstick tube. And then when you open it, we're gonna open it.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? So this one actually didn't come with a lipstick, it was just the case. But I had a 1960s Revlon lipstick that I just popped in here.
Oh, so yeah. It's like a reusable, like, container compartment thing?
It's a totally refillable lipstick.
Wow.
Yeah, so I took another Revlon refill I had from the 60s, and I just popped it in, and it fits perfectly. And I love the name of the lipstick that I popped in here, because it's called Queen of Diamonds. And this little lipstick doll is the cutest little queen I've ever seen.
Oh, this is heavy.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's made of metal. It took me years to find her. And there's a few different variations of her with, like, different color hair, different outfits. But they are so cute.
Even, like, her necklace, it's metal. It's not, like, plastic. Mm-mm. That's insane.
Yeah, they really did an amazing job with this piece.
This is beautiful. This is, like, my favorite thing that you own.
One of mine, too, actually.
So you have another toy type of lipstick? Is that lipstick?
Okay, so this is not lipstick, but this is perfect for you, Mr. Merch Motel, Mr. Toy Designer. This is from the 1920s. It's an old monkey. And it's gonna sound really bad. When you rip the monkey's head off, it unveils like this cute little vial, and you would have perfume in this vial.
Wow.
So yeah, like women would just carry this around in their bag, like a little monkey.
So this was targeted towards women?
Yeah, it was targeted towards women. And it's funny because a toy company made that. Now when you said lipstick, it's interesting because there's another version of this, again, 1920s monkey. But instead of you ripping the head off, you actually open it from its stomach, this little monkey, and there's a rouge and like a lipstick in it. That one is really hard to find.
This, like, the quality of this too, like, it's crazy.
I mean, it's 100 years old and wow. It's still like intact. Yeah. It's crazy.
And like the legs and arms are like fully articulated. Uh-huh. It's really cool.
Yeah. The details on this piece are really cool, especially the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish like you could still smell this perfume, because although I don't collect vintage perfume, I collect a lot of vintage makeup, and you could smell a lot of the vintage makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the lipsticks smell like crayons, but this one I could barely smell.
Was this like you would spray it, or it was like a dab?
No, it was a dab. So got you would it. Just like put your finger on it and then just dab it all over
cool.
you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for me to ask you more questions about your brand. So tell the people exactly what you're doing with Velux Vanity.
So Velux Vanity, in the beginning, started off as just an Instagram page that I just wanted to share vintage makeup and vintage glamour. And then it kind of sort of turned into me starting my own lipstick line.
And it looks really cool.
Thanks. Well, you designed most of it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We're going to get into all of that.
Yes, I'm so excited. Okay, so for a little over a year now, we've been working on the lipstick formula, and I'm so excited. The formula is done.
Oh, it's officially complete, right?
The formula is complete. It's perfect. It's vegan. It's amazing. The only thing we're waiting on is one ingredient to arrive.
Okay.
So that's the only thing. So when people ask me when is it coming out, I'm like, soon, you guys, soon, I promise.
It's fun because, like, from behind the scenes, I've been with you from like the beginning, so I've seen it all happen. You've worked so hard on it, and it's really cool seeing it all come together slowly. We're gonna work on some more little stuff today after we finish recording,
yes,
that we need to finalize, but it's gonna be really, really beautiful.
Yeah, so Barkev here actually designed my box and the component. So most of the designs on my lipstick components and on the packaging are based off of 1920s and 1950s design elements. And Barkev, do you want to say some of the cool stuff you got to work on and some of the inspo I gave to you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I think we should start from the beginning. Ooh. So, like, should we start from the name all the way to the lipstick component?
Let's start from that because I love that story.
Okay, we will. So I'm sure you guys already know the name of your brand is...
Velux Vanity.
And we actually had been brainstorming a lot of ideas for your name. It took a long time.
Yeah, it took months.
What's really fun is both of our brand names have alliteration, VV and MM, mm-hmm. Merch Motel, Velux Vanity. So I know you really wanted to incorporate the letter V in your name. You wanted the word vanity for sure.
Yes.
So why don't we take it back and say this more like a story? Like, what did you have in your mind when you came up to me about what kind of name you wanted?
So originally, the name I wanted, I didn't feel like it fit my brand well enough. So I remember just us sitting there in the living room trying to come up with names that have the VV. And I knew I wanted Vanity because I loved the V from this really old vintage advertisement. It was like a sharp peaked V.
Yeah.
And I remember it being so beautiful, and I'm like, I need this for my brand. It's so cute. So from there, we literally got a dictionary and we were just looking at all the words with the V. And for, like, hours, I was like, none of this is good enough. It doesn't describe my brand. And then before this, we actually took a trip In LA, and we were driving around Wilshire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Miracle Mile, the most beautiful, incredible place.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, lots of Art Deco, amazing, beautiful buildings. I can go on about this forever.
Yes, so a lot of gorgeous 1920s buildings that thankfully are still there.
I want to say, like, the most iconic building on the Miracle Mile is the Bullocks Wilshire.
Absolutely.
And thank God it's still here today. It's now home to Southwestern Law School. The building was preserved so well. Exterior and interior, they did an incredible job on restoring it.
And that's my all-time favorite building. It's just, for years, I've been obsessed with it. And even as a kid, I had this obsession with 1920s style architecture, not knowing why. And then in college, I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love Art Deco. That's what it is.
Yeah, and Bullocks Wilshire is an incredible Art Deco building.
It's just beautiful. And again, yeah, the law school did an incredible job fully restoring that.
Mm-hmm. And like, beautiful. They like took down a wall when they were restoring it. Yes. And they found like an original fountain, I believe from like the 1920s or
30s. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In such great condition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. We need to take a tour of it soon.
Yeah, we will.
Speaking of tours, should we say that story?
Yeah, okay, you guys, so we keep going off track, but I think that's what makes this fun. Speaking of the Bullocks Wilshire, we drive by it like often, I would say. We always like, we make sure to go there. Like, we intentionally will drive by it.
Because we miss it. It's weird, but we miss the building.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, even the Miracle Mile. I mean, if you're in LA, drive down Wilshire Boulevard, and once you start paying attention, you'll notice a lot of historical buildings. Like, the dark room that I talked about in my previous episode is on the Miracle Mile.
And just so beautiful. I remember years ago when I would go to work on that drive, all I wanted to do was just pull over, not go to work that day, and just walk the entire Miracle Mile just to see how pretty these Art Deco buildings truly are.
Also, not to sound lame, but it's sort of cute you worked on the Miracle Mile, because when they built that, it was built for like businesses and stuff back in the day. But of course, it was way more beautiful and easier to get around.
Of course. So I'm really happy I got to work there, but the commute was so awful. But like, the traffic through Miracle Mile made it worth it, because I got to stop in front of like Bullocks Wilshire every morning and just gaze at it. I was just in awe.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at traffic.
Right?
Yeah.
Just look at the pretty buildings.
A recommendation from me to you guys, like, when there's really bad traffic, I take the streets, and like, maybe it'll be like an extra 10 to 20 minutes, but to me it's worth it because at least there's stuff to look at. You're not just stuck on a freeway with like cars next to you. Okay, so Mako and I went to the Bullocks Wilshire like a couple
years ago. Yeah,
a few years ago. Every time we go there, I feel like we notice something new.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to say that I noticed, so if you look at the building, there's one like main tower and it's beautiful. And I noticed this for the first time, I think like last time I went, or before that, I don't know. But if you pay attention to the door frames, not the main entrance one, but there's a few other doors, the frame of the door is actually inspired by the tower of the building. So they like have like a mini little tower on the frame of the door, if that makes sense. It's really cute. There's so much detail like inside and outside of this building.
Another thing I love on the front of that building is there's a quote that's like embedded into it. And the quote is, "To build a business that will never know completion." And I think that fits the Bullocks Wilshire so perfectly, because it did start out as a department store in, 1929? And today, it's a law school. So this beautiful grand building, like, it's still in business. It's amazing. Although, yes, not the original department store, but it's known as the Bullocks Wilshire, and it's still in use today.
And it's actually incredible, like, speaking of that quote, because the building sort of adapted with the times, and it's such a great example of, like, how to properly preserve a building. Like, just because a business is moving in, you shouldn't demolish a building and just create, you know, like, a modern, ugly, gray building.
Let's talk about the historic Max Factor building in Hollywood, since we're already talking about 1920s buildings.
Oh yeah, let's do that. I mean, you know so much more about the history of that building. I tried to learn about it, but there's so much
to
understand.
There's too much.
Yeah.
There's too much.
Please tell me. Educate me. Educate the people.
Okay, so I went online and I couldn't really find a lot. You kind of have to dig online to find history of this place. And then I bought this book. It's the history of Max Factor and how he came to America and started his empire and whatnot. And in one section, it talks about this beautiful building, and apparently when they purchased it, I believe they purchased it in the late 20s or 30s,
mm-hmm.
from what I'm trying to remember from what I read, and they purchased it, and it was this, honestly, it was an ugly building. It was just an ugly square building. And then it's Max Factor who hired this incredible architect and said, no, I want to make it look like how it should look, like a beautiful Art Deco style building. Mm-hmm. So this architect came in and just revamped the building, and it still looks like that.
I actually didn't know that he remodeled the building. You were the one who taught me that. I was like, whoa, I thought the building was built to look like this.
Mm-mm. No. It was this, like, honestly, it was this really hideous square building. And then when he hired this architect, they made it into the Art Deco masterpiece it is today. And luckily, it's preserved.
So today, the building is actually divided into two businesses. One of them is the Hollywood Museum, and the other portion is Mel's Drive-In.
Been to both. Let's get real quick into Mel's, because I need to shout them out. I love Mel's Diner, and I love that they collab with Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anyway, thanks, Mel's. Let's move on to the Hollywood Museum.
Yes.
So the Hollywood Museum is just incredible. So when you walk in, they actually restored it to how it would have looked in its heyday with Max Factor there. So cool. So you walk in, and it's this, like, pink and gold, beautiful lobby. And that area that you walk into, it's just a bunch of vintage Max Factor makeup, and it's kind of like a small lobby, but there's so much to see. Like, it's so worth it. And then they have these amazing makeup rooms. There's one for blondes, redheads, brownettes, and brunettes. So depending on your hair color, each room is designed to complement your features.
So all these famous actresses, like Hollywood celebrities at the time, would go to the Max Factor building to get their makeup done.
Exactly. So, and what's cool about the Hollywood Museum now, they actually dedicated a room to Lucille Ball. So it's some of Lucille's stuff and like how Max Factor would do her makeup. And it's just, it's amazing.
And you even have some like Max Factor makeup in your collection.
Yeah, I love it because it's not only a part of beauty history, but also LA history.
I like that even your name is inspired by LA history. Because when we were brainstorming some ideas for Velux Vanity's name, I think I asked you, like, what are some things you love about Los Angeles? And you mentioned Bullock's Wilshire. So we're talking and, like, trying to figure everything out. And we know we want the VV. I think I told you, like, why don't we incorporate the name Bullock's in it somehow? Because, like, that building has inspired you so much. And you are so in love with it. And you appreciate and respect it so much. So I was like, okay, Bullock's with the V. Velux Vanity. Of course, it wasn't that fast.
This took so long.
Several hours and days.
Yeah.
And so we loved that name. So I told you, like, what about Velux Vanity?
Mm-hmm. And then we kept changing the spelling of it and moving a lot of letters around.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came to just exactly how it's spelled, Velux Vanity.
Yeah.
And we both fell in love with it. We're like, what's better than a word that doesn't exist?
Yes.
But it's inspired by one of my favorite buildings.
Yes.
So I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, that was my aha moment. And I was like, I love this name so much.
And so after we came up with the name, we were trying to figure out like ideas of logo design and like graphics and stuff. You know, we both love that sharp V. It's like a sexy
yes.
V. So I was like, what if we had both the Vs like together and make a really nice like VV, you know, it's fun to say VV. And so yeah, we just like, I messed around with it, showed you some concepts and ideas, and we ended up with the beautiful Velux Vanity logo with the overlapping Vs.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for designing it. By the way, I can't thank you enough because I'm obsessed with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I think no one else could have created my vision any better than you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So we finished your logo, and your logo actually incorporates pretty well with your lipstick component.
Yes, it does. And I have, let me get it out.
Yes, you guys can hear all the crinkling sounds.
Sorry. Okay, so...
Beautiful.
I know. I love it. So the cap actually is designed to replicate a 1950s lipstick cap with the lines going up and down and the little dots on the top. And then the base of it, the bottom of it, it's inspired by a 1920s lipstick. And you actually helped me incorporate my VV logo into the design.
Yes.
So it's very Art Deco. And I love that my design was able to be incorporated into the component.
Yeah, and what's really fun is you love Art Deco. You love 1950s stylization and design. And I feel like your lipstick really captured both aesthetics into one. And it works so well. Because sometimes when you mix, decades, like, designs of different decades together, it can clash, and I think we did a really great job with this.
Yeah, you did. It's just so beautiful because I couldn't choose between 1920s and 1950s because I like both of the stylizations from those eras, and I'm like, no, it has to be both.
Yeah, and it's fun. Like, your lipstick literally looks like a little Art Deco inspired building. I love
it. It's so cute.
Let's open it so the microphone hears. Ooh, and now let's close it.
I love that sound.
So good. I don't even know how long you have been working on a brand of lipsticks.
Yes.
You have been trying to perfect the formula.
Yes.
You have completed the packaging. The formula is complete. Mm-hmm. You want to tell people about the formula, vegan, all that stuff.
Yes. Okay. So I really thought to myself, I'm like, what do I want to do with this? Because in the world of makeup, you can pretty much create anything you want. And I knew, I'm like, this lipstick definitely has to be vegan and it has to be pigmented. Because the ones I've come across, it's like you have to swipe so many times across your lips just to get some color on there. And I knew I did not want that. So my lipsticks will be vegan, cruelty-free, of course, paraben-free, talc-free, GMO-free, gluten-free, no palm oil, all that good stuff. I feel like I'm doing like an infomercial, like from I Love Lucy or something. But yes, it's clean formula. And me and my lab worked so hard to create it. And I remember when I got the final revision back, I was so ecstatic. Because the second I put it on my lips, I was like, this is it. This is the final formula. And it's perfect.
And how did that feel? That probably felt amazing.
It felt amazing because it took over a year and a half just to finalize the formula. Because I kept saying no. There was a million things that we adjusted to give it that perfect semi-matte feel. And I was so happy that I finally had it in my hands and I gave a few samples to my friends and family because I knew once they tried it, they would love it as much as I do. And guess what? They did. They loved it even more than me. I don't even think that was possible, but they went crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they even told me about it because, you know, we know the same people. So they were telling me how awesome it looks. It's cool to see it.
Honestly, I was so excited and I keep saying I'm excited, but I still am. It's like a dream come true to finally have it.
And you actually wear it when you go out and stuff. Like, I do. You use your lipstick. Yeah.
I do. And so anytime I wear it, friends and family like will ask me, what are you wearing? Are you wearing yours? I'm like, yeah. They're like, is it out yet? Can I have it? I'm like, sorry, no.
I know. Even I'm excited for it to come out at this point. I just need it to come out. You know?
I know. I get it. I don't even think I shared the names with you.
Wait, yeah. You didn't give me the final names.
Let's get into it. Well, first, my lipsticks are actually inspired by popular lipstick shades from the 20th century. And the first one is actually named Royal Pink. Can you guess what decade that's from?
Oh, I want to say like maybe the 50s, right?
Absolutely. Because this pink was so popular in the 50s that I had to recreate it. The second shade is called Rose Garden, and it's a much deeper pink.
Also, I love that it's called Rose Garden because it reminds me of Pasadena.
Oh, it's totally inspired by Pasadena and the Wrigley Mansion Rose Garden.
And if you know, you know.
That's actually where I got engaged.
That's the perfect place.
It is. Perfect Pasadena.
True.
The next one is called Country Club, and it's like this everyday nude. I actually use it quite often.
So do you have like a 1960s inspired shade?
Yeah, it's called Poppy, and it's the sunset orange color. And the last two are actually called Sunday Brunch, which is this light rosy mauve, and Main Street, which is this deep red.
Oh, I like that because when you think of Main Street, you think of like brick buildings.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you have this pamphlet right in front of me and it has like all the colors and everything listed on it. And your overall packaging and aesthetic all ties in together really well. And it has this almost like nostalgia feel to it. And seeing this all in front of me, like, everything works together so well. It's very cute. Good job. Proud of you.
Thank you. Well, even the packaging is actually based on 1950s lipstick packaging. So
cute.
I remember when I brought it to you, I brought you the actual 1950s lipstick box. And I'm like, how can I recreate this? How can we design this? And it took a few months to get the box right. But and then it took a while for you to design it just to make sure everything is perfect and works beautifully and is cohesive with the lipstick. And it's that's also almost done.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
It's exciting.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. So where can people find this lipstick eventually?
So it's going to be on VeluxVanity.com.
Awesome.
Yes.
Cool. Do you know when you're going to launch?
Soon.
Okay. Good answer.
Soon. So when people ask me when is it launching, I wish I had a definitive date. I used to have a definitive date, but because of COVID and all of the ingredients being backordered, it kind of got pushed back. So All I can say is soon. And hopefully the sooner the better because I cannot wait for everyone to try this lipstick.
Yeah. And if people go on your website right now, they can like subscribe, right? So when you launch, they'll get notified.
So right before we launch, if you're subscribed, you'll get an email and then you could just go on the website and get whichever shades you want.
I'm excited.
I know, me too.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Okay. So now for the Velux Vanity listeners out there, I want to ask Barkev about Merch Motel.
Oh my God.
How did that get started?
Oh, there's a lot to say about that. A lot of people always ask me this and I'm like, honestly, like, I don't really know how this came to be. But I love to go on road trips. I've always loved to go on road trips. And so what I would do is, like, on my spare time, I would go and take photos of, like, buildings and old signage and stuff. And I would just do that as a hobby. And I remember, like, a few years ago, I was like, I want to go. I want to take a drive on Route 66. Like, there's so many cool signs and buildings, this, that. And this is even before I created my brand. So I would go and take photos of these buildings and signs. And, like, it's crazy because, like, I just started a few years ago. And if you fast forward to today, like, so many signs and buildings have been, like, demolished or taken down or don't exist anymore. So pretty much what I did is, like, I was like, I want to get more people to be appreciative of these, like, beautiful buildings and stuff, because a lot of us, like, you know, we drive somewhere and we don't notice, like, what's right in front of us. So I sort of started off, like, an Instagram account where I would just post photos about these signs and then, like, post little, like, historical facts about them, and it got more people interested. People always text me and they're like, I started noticing this stuff and I never noticed it before. It's really cool. I can't believe how much is disappearing. And I'm like, that makes me so happy because I'm trying to get more people to be appreciative of it. The more people who appreciate it, the better chance we have of keeping these places here today, you know?
And I just love how you incorporate that into the products you create. Like the other day when we were driving, we saw this old motel and it still had a color TV sign.
Oh yeah.
And this was the first time I saw one in person, right? So I'm like, oh my god, I didn't realize these signs are actually that big. And you're like, well yeah, because people had to drive and see these signs. So it's so rare to see these signs now.
And yeah, that's sort of what I try to do, is like when these buildings or signs sort of like don't exist anymore or get destroyed or taken down, I try to bring them back to life in a new, fun, trendy way, I guess. So like I'll have screen printed shirts or embroidered shirts, sweatshirts, hats, enamel pins, just fun, cute little things you can wear. And it sort of brings life back to these buildings and signs that we had that aren't here anymore. Okay, also, like, I always say, like, I feel bad when people are, like, hanging out with me or go somewhere with me, because, like, I'll see something and I won't shut up.
No, honestly, it's the coolest because you teach me so much when I'm out with you.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. If you don't pay attention to these buildings and stuff, you should start to, because when you're stuck in traffic, now you have a cool building to look at. Like, literally, every time I'm just stuck or waiting for a red light, like, I'm never bored. I'm just, like, looking at the buildings. Like,
yeah, and you get to, sorry, I'm cutting you off. No. You either get to judge how ugly it is, or literally, you get to, like, marvel, like, oh my gosh, look how amazing.
I was gonna be like, even if it's like an ugly building, you can just stare at it and judge it. I was literally gonna say
that. I'm like, what, like, is this exactly? Because okay, but seriously, like, nowadays it's like, you think people are building something, right? They're spending a lot of money to build this building. Why are you making it ugly?
The decline of architectural design, not to be dramatic, but it's true. It's been happening, you know?
That's how I am with cosmetics. So, because realistically, you, from every era, you can see how different they are. From the 1920s, you have these beautiful, like, flapper handheld compacts that had everything, right? You'd have your cigarettes in it, you'd have your rouge, you'd have your face powder, you'd have a place to put your money, to now where you kind of just get like mediocre plastic stuff. So you got to see almost the decline. I don't want to call it the decline because it is absolutely more inclusive and the formulas are so much better. Now most of the stuff are plastic. So speaking of plastic, so in front of me I have this piece. It's from the 1940s. It's called a Sweetheart Compact. And essentially what it is, it's a military hat compact. In the 1940s, World War II, soldiers were sending these home to their girlfriends or wives, and they were actually known as sweetheart compacts, so you would send them home to your sweetheart. So if I open it up, it has a little mirror, and someone throughout time put a little rouge in it. It's not original to it, but I love that people kept reusing these compacts and these old, like, refillable items. And this one is made of plastic because of all the rationing with the materials. For instance, you couldn't use a heavy metal when there was more important things for it to be used. I know a certain brand, instead of creating makeup, started making like military makeup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they would make like camouflage kits. Or instead of face powder, they would make foot powder for the military.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how most of these cosmetic brands shifted from ladies' cosmetics to helping out with the war effort.
And so for people who aren't too familiar with vintage makeup, it was mostly made with metal, you're saying, like the compacts and stuff?
Yeah, so everything pre-40s was almost everything was made of heavy metal. So everything you touch, you're gonna have some weight in it. And then when you get to the 40s, you see like the introduction of a lot of plastic pieces. And although they don't weigh a ton, they are still very beautifully designed.
So speaking of fun, plastic, cute little designs, we're going to fast forward to the 70s. We actually both have these fun little items. And I think for the listeners from both our like accounts, will be interested in this.
Yes, because we both collect it. You guys have both seen it.
Yeah, so if you love like vintage Disney, makeup, toys, all of that, this is like that whole world collided, I guess.
Okay, hold on. I have it. It's in my storage closet. I have to go get it.
Okay, go get it. I'm gonna go get it. I'll keep talking about it as you walk away. her footsteps walking away.
Running away.
But what's really cool is that, so Avon had a collaboration, I guess. They had like the licensing rights to It's a Small World from Disney. And they created these cute little Small World dolls. But instead of actual dolls, they were like perfume or lotion and stuff like that. Mako will talk more about it because she's more familiar with like that world of it. But I love it because they have all the little girls in different outfits, different hairstyles. It's so cute. Whoa, you have like the whole box.
I brought a huge box and this box is titled 60s Makeup because awesome. I don't have room in my display
That's
case
cool
anymore.
That you're so organized. You guys, by the way, I'll post photos of this on my Instagram account. So this is produced by Avon Products. And so I'm going to start with the packaging. The one you just gave me, there's like a little illustration graphic of a little doll.
She's so cute.
Yeah, and there's like ducks and ducklings. Oh, the back, it's like all the girls around the world. So you open this up.
Yes.
You want to do the honors and
okay.
Explain what you see.
So pretty much you open this up. And again, they're like little dolls. And then if you take the head off of it, you have like a spray bottle. And some of them were made of glass, some were plastic. Mm-hmm. Like this one, for instance, is a cologne mist. So those are made of glass.
Yes.
The bubble baths, I believe, are plastic. So I don't want to spray it because I hate the smell of vintage cologne.
Of course.
But it's the cutest little Small World doll. And I love that in the 70s, Avon produced so many fun, cute little cosmetics.
Yeah. And even these dolls, like some of them have fabric. One of them has like a cowboy hat. The other ones just have like patterns printed on it. Some are glass, some are plastic.
Exactly. Some have little ribbons, some have collars. And I love
really
like the detail on makeup on her face.
Yeah.
She has blush,
uh-huh.
Lipstick, blue eyes.
Yeah, the stylization is very
cute.
It's just
so cute.
Oh, you have the little collar in a separate bag.
Yeah.
That's cute. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question.
Ask away.
What's your favorite vintage makeup item that you own?
This is hard because it's like asking me to choose, like, if I had children, like, which one is my favorite child? And I know that sounds dramatic,
just
but like,
a bit.
Yeah, but like, each one has its own story. I'm just going to tell you one of my favorite pieces that's in front of us right now.
Okay.
So, what I have in front of me is a Volupté vintage carry-all compact. It still comes with the box and it has a little carrying purse. And then what it is, it's like a clutch compact. You take it out of the little carrying purse. I'm going to open it for you guys so you hear it. All that metal, that heavy metal clanking.
Yeah,
it's
metal.
So cool. Yeah. So pretty much it was called the carry-all compact because if you lift down the mirror, it could carry your cigarettes. It had a place for your face powder. It had a lipstick, and then here I believe you would have like another puff. It would literally carry everything you need for a night out, right?
That's
cigarettes
so cool.
And makeup.
And it's just like a makeup purse pretty much, and it's all metal. That's
feel,
beautiful.
Look how heavy it is.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like imagine just carrying this around.
Uh-huh.
Like on a night
this
out.
This is so nice.
It's
like,
so beautiful.
Wow. Is there anything like this now?
Now I've seen a few companies reproduce it in a much smaller format and it's not all metal. It's cool that they still reproduce it, but nothing as like drastic as this. Like it's one of a kind and it's so perfect. Like think of it, 1950s woman is going out on town. She has her little compact purse. Little cigarettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so cute how everything is in this. Okay, now I want to let you pick one of the items that you like the most for my display case.
Ooh, okay, that's going to be difficult, but there's a few stuff I'm looking at, so I'm going to walk over there and pick one. Okay, that was the sound of your cabinet closing.
Have you found your pieces?
Yes, I'm going to put them all on the table. And
okay.
There's a lot of pieces because I'm excited.
Okay, good.
And one of these I bought you, but I want you to talk
about
them.
Yes, you did.
Them.
It's so cute. I love that piece.
I bought it a few years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. There's one.
I love this.
Two.
I love that too.
Some ASMR
oh,
for
Oh, that one I love.
Three. And then this is like a little chunk. Okay.
You picked some good stuff. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have taste.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which one should we start with? Let's start with maybe the big one first. This guy.
Let's
I also love
it.
The illustration on it.
Yes. Okay, so one of the pieces you chose is this Lajac High Brow Liquid Face Powder and Leg Makeup.
Yeah.
So this has a really cool story to it. In the 1940s, we talked about the war, World War II, and how a lot of items were rationed. So like, because there was no stockings available for women to purchase, they started creating liquid stockings. It's essentially just foundation for your legs. So it was at a time when women couldn't purchase stockings and they would have to apply leg makeup. So it covers the imperfections, as they would say, on their legs. Huh.
Funny how you're saying that, like, there was a shortage of all these supplies back then. Yeah. And when was this?
1940s.
Oh, so fast forward to what, like 80 years or something now? We're sort of having a shortage of supplies again. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? I wonder how companies will approach that. But even like this container is in a glass container, and like there's actually like embossed detailing on the glass.
Designed, it's a custom glass. Yeah,
designed even around the graphic and stuff. So it's not like a generic glass. Like even that mm-hmm. has detail on it.
Even during a time with all the rationing going on, it's a custom glass.
Is the cap
you
tin?
You can open it.
And
you
is
can,
it a tin cap?
It's a tin cap. That's it smells crazy. Awful, heads up.
All right.
There were even like little stations where women could go sit and someone would apply leg makeup on them. I've That's posted so it cool. before on my Instagram. And it's just amazing like what these companies would do to substitute what wasn't available.
So, how would you apply this?
So some of them came with like a puff mm-hmm. and others you would kind of just paint it all over your legs and smooth it out. What's pretty crazy about this though, like foundation for your legs, this sort of still exists. Like not obviously not in this gorgeous packaging, but in like sprays. Like you pretty much put makeup on your legs to hide your imperfections or whatnot. So this has come a long way.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I picked this one up because it looks like a matchbook and we both are obsessed with matchbooks. So please tell me about this.
Okay, I love this graphic. And yes, I love that it's just like a matchbook. And essentially, it opens just like a matchbook and it says, "It's no secret." And on the bottom, it says Pacific Telephone. And you open it up and it's just, instead of matches, you get little nail files. That's so you rad. Can pop one up and just do your nails. And what this was Pacific Telephone was recruiting people to come work for their phone company. So women who work there would hand these out to their girlfriends and whatnot and try to recruit them to work for Pacific Telephone as operators.
Let's talk about this one right here.
Okay, so you actually got me this piece years ago mm-hmm. for my birthday, and it's from the 1920s, and they're hairpins, and it has this beautiful graphic of a flapper on the front.
I love the packaging.
I know, and the name of this is Starrite, and it has such a cute S on the front design, and it says, "They stay in, Starrite hairpins, invisible sizes," and it's in the color black. Okay, and on the side of this, it actually has a cute little saying. It says, "Precious little aids to beauty." And when you open it, they're straight up bobby pins wow. from the 1920s. And again, I don't even know how you found this, but it's such an amazing piece.
Okay, so next is, I had no idea this was a thing. You taught me about this. Yes. Lipstick bullets.
Yes.
Okay, please explain.
These actually do look like little bullet casings, but they're not. When you open them, they're mini lipsticks. And these were produced by Avon in the 1950s, and these were usually a part of like a salesperson's kit. So when they would come to your house, they would show you what the colors look like and such. And it was these minis that actually like promoted so much of their sales. It's crazy.
So were these samples?
These were samples.
And that's metal?
These were samples and they're all metal. Wow. Like, go ahead and open this one. The one in your hand, what is that called?
Silver Trill.
Okay, so open it. So that one is like this really cute rosy pink color. The lipstick, that is. And that was a lipstick. The one in my hand is called Sea Mist. And what Avon did in the 1950s, they produced eyeshadow stick samples and lipstick samples. So when you just look at it from the front, they look exactly the same. But when you look on the bottom and the name and when you open it up,
that's a really pretty color, sorry.
Right? It's yeah. this beautiful like blue-green mm-hmm. and it's for your eyes.
Wow.
So they made it look just like a lipstick. So when you open it, you think, oh my God, who would wear this blue-green on their lips in the 1950s? But these are actually their eyeshadow stick samples. Mm. And I kind of love that they did it with these little bullet casings because they all look the same and they're metal and it's not even a sticker on the bottom. It's like printed and on top. It's like embossed on the metal Avon.
And then this too, this is like a mega version. What is this?
So that's actually a lipstick from the 1930s, I believe. I can't even see who produced it because there's so much like rust going on the lipstick, but the name is called Pink Lightning. And when we open it, it's not a regular twist lipstick like we know of. It's a push-up lipstick, so there's a little metal lever and you would have to push it up to reveal the lipstick and then push it back down to close it. I wish I could push it up, but it's so old you can't it doesn't move. Picked some amazing stuff.
I have taste, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so I just turned my back and I saw this cute little chest in your like bookshelf area, and I'd never noticed that before, and I asked you what it is, and you just told me it's a old makeup travel box. Is that what it is?
So it's actually called like a vintage train case. When you would travel, you'd have all like your skincare, all your makeup, all of your whatnot. And it's called a train case because you would travel by train. So you'd have everything in this cute little suitcase type box. And it held all of your skincare, hair care, all of your beauty products, essentially, while you're traveling.
I'm gonna
open it up.
Yeah, I just went and grabbed it. Let me open this up. Let me figure it out. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Is it just like this? Yep. Ooh.
So it's from the 40s, and honestly, it looks pretty good. Whoa. Like, the fact that the mirror's intact.
There's, like, a big mirror inside. That's awesome. And then this is probably where you, like, slide in all your...
Exactly. So you'd put like all your skincare stuff there, and it's just, it's amazing how things were made to last and be sturdy.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear all those sounds?
That's crazy. I love those creaking noises. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here, and like everywhere you turn, you're like, should I talk about this? It's like, no, yeah. I'm talking way too much.
Honestly, like, this is really fun, and I love that, like, it's not just, like, makeup. It's fun for me. Like, it's fun to open the packaging, play with it, see everything inside. You know, I don't wear makeup, and I'm enjoying it so much.
Absolutely, because when you, like, when you hold any one of these pieces, you can see the work that went into it and what it must have been like at the time to just mm-hmm. open this beautiful, like, heavy compact or lipstick, and what, like, women would think when they would apply it, because it was just the normal, right?
And we always talk about this, like... It, like, for example, like, in makeup, like, that's a whole experience. I mean,
absolutely. And I love that you said it's an experience, because it truly is, especially when women had vanities, right? Yeah. Let's talk about, like, the 30s to the 50s, when vanities were very common in the bedroom, and women would have all their makeup displayed or laid out beautifully, and it really was almost like a ritual to sit down at your vanity and do your makeup, get glamored up. And I feel like that has been lost throughout time, because now we just quickly have to put on makeup and stuff. And even throughout the packaging, you kind of see that glamour has faded with the fanciness and the beauty of the packaging. So I really wanted to create something with that in mind. I was like, why can we glamour ourselves up, but the products we use have no glamour to them? They're just very simple, a little too simple for my liking. It's like, sure, they get the job done, but they're not beautiful enough for us to play with.
And you're bringing that back, you know, with your packaging. It's really cute.
I really wanted to, because I want it to be an experience. That's really been lost. So I'm really happy to be able to do this. When I'm in my own office, my entire collection is here. So everywhere you look, there's just always something that can inspire you, something that can make you really think, how was this created, and how can I recreate this?
And here we are. We both created our own brands with our own product line.
It's good really for cool. us. Yeah. Honestly, good for us. Because I remember when you were first starting Merch Motel, and then when I was first starting Velux Vanity, it was maybe like a year or two apart. Mm-hmm. We're always hanging out together. So it's crazy to see it from just concept to actually seeing the products and holding it in your hand. It's just like, oh my gosh, like, how crazy is it that we just thought of it and now it's here?
Yeah, it's fun.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that'll like sort of wrap up our episode. But I want to say, first of all, if you guys want to check out any of Velux Vanity's incredible lipsticks that are going to launch soon, check it out at
VeluxVanity.com or on any of my social media handles. It's at Velux Vanity.
Yes. And how do you spell that?
VULOX Vanity.
Perfect.
So thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. Oh my gosh. I've been looking forward for this for weeks.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy you're here. I hope everyone enjoys this. I'm sure they will.
I hope you guys enjoyed us talking a lot about vintage makeup and vintage architecture.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.